the best thing you can do in family devotions is to get them involved. Let them read the Bible. Let them act it out while you are reading. Ask them to come up with one question about the passage. Do whatever you can to give them responsibility in your family time. And he's right about that. I cannot emphasize enough to you parents. It is not for you to do everything. Get your children involved. And when they're young, they want to be involved. Let them get involved. Give them serious responsibility. They will love it. They will feel like grown-ups, if you will. And they will be eager about serving the Lord. With those pure hearts, they love God and they love Jesus. And they will and can help a whole lot in the ministry and in the family worship time. Let them do it. And once they get older, they may not be as eager because of the flesh. They don't have pure hearts anymore. But they will know they ought to do it. So, do you have my items? Just put it right here. Let me see this right here and brighten this up, please. Join me, ladies and gentlemen, in praying the Lord's Prayer. And we use the King James Version. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you would meditate on that passage, if you would meditate on that prayer, it will blow your mind. In a very real sense. What about the other ones? Okay. Pass me that right there, please. Today we're going to read one verse that deals with the husband and the father. Because I'm leading you to do what I led my family to do for 33 years. And it just so happens this is verse 33. We read these family verses in Ephesians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6. And since you don't have a perfect family either, I recommend them to you very highly. Everybody needs to be reminded from God's word what they ought to be doing, from the husband, the father, the wife, the mother, and the children. And I believe, without counseling, without running to the pastor with your problems, I believe that every family can be instantaneously healed, blessed, and filled with order and peace and joy by simply praying and obeying these verses, because God speaks to everybody in the family directly. Starting with the wife and then the husband. We read the husband's verses yesterday. We read the wife's verses the day before. Now we're going to read the verse dealing with the husband and the wife. I believe that if every family read these verses on a daily basis, it would cut divorce at least 40%, if not more, and then we wouldn't even have any divorce in the church. And you can put the divorce care false fake ministry into mothballs and quit that foolishness. Take that sign down. You don't need to have that ministry. That is not a biblical ministry. That's right, I said it. The divorce care ministry is not a ministry. It is a joke. All it is a glorified dating game for previously divorced people, where oftentimes the pastor's wife plays Cupid, and so that people can continue to enjoy that wonderful part of marriage called sex. That's all it is. That's all it is. We ought not to, in the church, be encouraging divorce. Period. Period. God hates divorce. He said so in the Old Testament. Jesus confirmed it in the New Testament. He made it very clear. If you divorce and remarry, you're committing adultery. This is deep. And we have half the church in adultery and think that we're going to have the power of God and God's going to bless our work in ministry, and 80% of the pastors have compromised with them trying to please the people. It is absolutely sad and disgusting. You say, "Preacher, I'm never going to listen to you again." That's fine. If you want the truth, you'll come back. But we in the church, we need to stop lying to ourselves and doing what we want to do. We read this morning the book of Judges, and the book of Judges is known for people doing what they want to do in their own sight, in their own mind. And that's what's wrong with the church today. The truth of the matter is, most of the church has forsaken God, has forsaken Jesus Christ. Half of the church has betrayed Jesus Christ, just like Judas. And that's why we're in the mess we're in right now. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. And don't you get mad at me. You know it's a mess. And you want to go back to normal. You want to go back to your beloved church. For what? For what? I wish my church was on. For what? So that you can continue to lust your heart out and your eyes out and whore around and watch the women in their tight jeans, men in their little muscle shirts, and all kinds of foolishness going on, and adultery and fornication and homosexuality. For what? You call that the normal? You better find a new normal in a hurry, or your candlestick will be removed. And it is in the process of being removed right now. And the angels too. The ministers, they're being removed as well. After God gets through, there's going to be only a few churches, true churches, standing with some power and authority. Anyway, verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You cannot fake love, and the kind of love that God wants you to have is what we read earlier. I believe the most beautiful writing. This is heavenly writing and literature, if you will, in the history of the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's the kind of love that God wants you to have for your wife. I know your wife might want the Romeo and Juliet love, and you can give a little bit of that if that's what you want, but you better have some God kind of love. She doesn't want to hear that, but God does, and it's going to make the marriage last. Unconditional agape love. That's the love of marriage. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. See, some of you people don't stay married long enough to really enjoy, begin to enjoy your marriage and the family life. Some of you husbands are so weak and so compromising that you don't help your wife become a better woman so that you can really get into her even more. You really don't benefit from your wife. Listen to me, sir. You ought to benefit from having a wife. She ought to be a help to you. And she may not be in the beginning, but if you do your job, she will become a help to you. That's right. My proud, stubborn, rebellious Jamaican wife, for years I had to rebuke her and deal with her and so forth. But now, as I speak, she's helping me in the ministry big time. Now, as I speak, working from home, she is helping significantly more than ever before in our family business, and is responsible for bringing in some income to the family through our family Christian business. Getting up early in the morning, which she didn't do for a while, and doing the work that I have assigned her to do. And it's a beautiful thing. But it took a while. And she's helping now more than even some of the children. And she leads in prayer on an hourly basis when I'm not in the room. And most of the time. And so over the years, because of her husband not compromising and not letting her have her way, not yielding to her manipulation and foolishness, she's become a better woman and more helpful. She's more of a helpmeet now after 33 years than she's ever been in her life. And that's what you want. You want to see some growth, and you want to see some improvement, sir. And if you love her, you're not going to let her have her way and not pull her weight. She's got a job to do. Everybody in the family has a job to do. You can't keep having a situation where you're working, you're behind off, the children are working, their behinds off, and she does nothing. She does not contribute. You just let her have her way and go out with her girlfriends and neglect the children, neglect you, and hear you hard up and everything else, and she's running around, running the streets. No. No, sir. You need to help her to be a blessing to you and a helpmeet. Maybe her mother didn't teach her that. She never saw that modeled. But her first job, sir, is to be a helpmeet to you. Oh, yes, in every way, family-wise, business-wise, children-wise, keeping the house clean-wise, sex-wise, everything. You ought to be benefiting big time as a man in your house. But you're not going to do that if you compromise and yield to her manipulation and evil and foolishness. And yes, as I said the other day, most women are evil. Just like most men are evil. And you have to work on them. You got to deal with them. You got to walk with them. You got to rebuke them. To help them to grow and hold them accountable and hold them responsible. I know you don't like that. I know that's not popular in our sweet little evangelical circles. In our sweet little evangelical circles, and even in our sweet little American society, the women are angels, all men are devils, and the children are brats. But mama, she's just so wonderful and sweet, And that's not in the Bible. There's a whole line of evil from Eve to Jezebel to Vashti and to Jezebel in the book of Revelation that Jesus Christ talked about, and to Solomon, who had many wives and many concubines, who learned about women so well, he finally said, "I find more bitter than death the woman." Some of you men are tied in knots all the time. You're having heart palpitations and all kinds because your wife got you tied up in knots. Got you so confused you don't know which way is up. Because you refuse to be a man in that situation and let the chips fall where they may. And she would submit if you be the man that God wants you to be. She would not have a choice. And that's love too. That's love. I know the wives don't want to hear this. They don't want me to say this. I know that. But see, I got your number though, wives and mothers. You bought my book by the hundreds of thousands, Letters to Young Black Men. You know why you bought it? Because you didn't want your son to be like his father, weak, controlled by women, manipulated, henpecked. You don't want your son that way because you still want to have a relationship with your son and not have a situation where some other woman is controlling and dominating your son. So I got your number. You don't fool me. I got your comments and all your wonderful words, how much you love my book, because that's in it. That's in it. You see, you don't want your son to be henpecked, controlled and dominated and manipulated like you did your husband and got him under control. You don't want your son to be that way. You want your son to understand if she's a queen, you're a king. Like I wrote basically in that book. That you're, if she's the prize, you're the prize too, sir, young man. No, you don't feel, you don't have to feel like you got to bow and shuffle and be scared to talk to the woman, man. She wants you to talk to her. You want your son to be forward and strong and go up to women and talk with them if that's the woman they want. To be bold, to be manly. See? So don't try to change the game now. Don't get mad at me. Because you don't want your son to be that way. You want your husband to be that way because you want to be in control from your flesh. But you don't want your son to be that way, controlled and dominated by a woman other than you. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. So let's read this passage once again. Let me read it to you once again. Verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. That's how you ought to love your wife, sir. And this ought to come from your heart, naturally. You ought to have natural affection for your wife. This is not something pumped up. You don't have to read a book about this. Listen to me very carefully. Every good man who's born again and saved, and we're talking to saved people, he wants to share a great dinner that he wants at the steakhouse with his wife. Yes, he does. Now, if she's a mean, hateful wife, he does not want her there with him. He'd just rather eat by himself. But if she's a good wife and respectful, like we're getting ready to deal with right here, and honors him and so forth, he wants her there to eat whatever steak she wants to eat as well. If he watches a movie, he wants her there beside him. He wants her to enjoy the things that he enjoys. If she wants to. She doesn't have to. If she's not into football, she doesn't have to be there to watch the football game. She can watch something else while he's watching the football game. Just make sure you have some earphones on. You still sit side by side. Every godly, every Christian, born again, loving husband wants his wife to have the best. Oh yes. But he would be foolish to give her the best if she is not showing the proper respect to him and thus to God. The date nights ought to be halted if she's not respecting him and doing what he has told her to do, as far as I'm concerned.
There's not a godly love. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because Jesus loves us the same way. Right now, he's chastising us. Let me ask you a question. Does Jesus love us? Does he still love us in this plague? You better believe he does. But he's not going to tolerate our foolishness. He's not going to let us be called by his name and we are committing fornication, we're committing adultery, we are committing homosexuality and promoting it, and the priests and preachers are raping children, and women in the church who are whoring around get pregnant and they kill the babies in the church, including the pastor's wife and her daughter. Don't tell me it doesn't happen. And yet they'll go out and march right after committing murder and aborting their baby and march in Washington, D.C. against abortion, you hypocrites. Jesus is not going to do that. And bless you. And let you just do what you want to do in his name. No, sir, and no, ma'am. And he's our husband. He's our husband. We're his bride. And you know and I know collectively and on an individual basis, Jesus will not let us have our way, and he will not let us get away with our sins and evil against him. You don't find that anywhere in the scriptures. Sorry. And yet he still loves us with an unconditional love. Nevertheless, let every one of you, sir, husband in particular, so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence, respects, honors, obeys her husband. There's no wiggle room here, my beloved. Either she does it, or there's going to be a problem, and there should be a problem. And I say to all husbands, let the problems come. Stop lying. Stop covering up. Stop compromising. If there's a problem, it's just a problem. Whatever. Let it be a problem. And be strong enough and man enough to just endure the problem. Don't be trying to sweep the problem under the rug and let her have her way and let her do whatever she wants, and she manipulates you and controls you and holds the family hostage. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, and she disrespects you, dishonors you, disobeys you in front of your children, has a demonic attitude, snapping her head back and forth at you in front of the children, what's going to happen with that? The children are not going to respect her because they've never seen her respect you. And if you let it go, they're going to see you as a weak man, and they're going to grow up bitter towards you, and they're going to be glad to get away from you and her because you let it happen. And you didn't rebuke her in front of them. If she did it in front of them, and put her in a place, and you have the authority to do so. Under God, under Jesus, this little mealy mouth, weak little milk toast foolishness that we have in churches today and the family today, and that's why your church is shut down, because the families are slapped out of control. The husband and the father is seen as a dummy and a buffoon. The wife knows best. Not fathers. Not father knows best. Father knows best. That used to be back in the 50s and 60s. Now is mother knows best. Father's a big fat dummy. He doesn't know anything. He's stupid. And the wives and the mothers deal with him that way. The children do too. They only go to him to get money. He's just an ATM machine. Has no authority, no power in his own home. Can't say anything, and when he tries, he is snapped up, cut up with a pair of scissors and thrown on the floor by the mother and the children. And may God help him if he has daughters. Have you seen the t-shirt? It's a popular t-shirt. You don't scare me. I have daughters. I have three daughters. So, whatever you got. I got you. I'm ready for you. And it's a shame that that is popular. But it is. Because of the evil that has been perpetrated by the mothers that she has instilled in the children. To be proud, to be arrogant, to be stubborn, to be rebellious, to lie, to have secrets, to whisper, to hold problems under the radar until they have exploded to the point that is almost unsolvable. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. You say, preacher, why you stay on this so long? Because this is the biggest problem in the church. What are you talking about? This is the biggest problem in our society. This is why our society is so messed up. This is one of the reasons why there's so much divorce and so many stepchildren and mixed families. That's not good. That's not a blessing as you try to make it. And by the way, there are people, men and women, who try to make situations that don't have a remedy into something wonderful and sweet and dandy when it needs to be fixed from the ground up. Let me move on. And I know some of you are saying, phew. Your back is pinned to the couch. Oh, man, this man. What's wrong with this man? I'm trying to help you. I love you. I want you to have peace in your home and have order in your home. And you got to bring back authority in your home to have that. And some of you men who have done the compromise, manipulation, garbage for 20, 25, 30, 40 years. May God help you. I hate to say this to you, but you probably ought not to do what I'm telling you now. It's too late. She's got the reins and the controls over you and the family, and she will double dog dare you to try to take it out of her hands, and she's not going to give it back. It's not in her nature to give it back. Sir, you gave it to her. You let her have it. You didn't fight for it. And she's got it now because you let her do it for 40 years. And she's got that family all jacked up and you have no control over it. And she double dog dares you to try to change it now. And she's looking at you right now saying, you can listen to that Brother White if you want to and try to pull that up in here. I got some news for you. That's what the eyes are saying to you right now. Don't you try that. Yeah, because if you try that with me, I will divorce you and I'll take your house, which costs $250,000. I'll take your best car and I'll take all of your children. And then I will marry Deacon Bo Peep and bring him into your house. And you're afraid of her. You're scared of her because you know she'll do it. Why do you know that? Because she is not a Christian or half a Christian, and she's treacherous, and she will flat do it because she's already told you, Negro, I will take everything. I will take you to the cleaners if you try some mess like Brother White is talking about right now. I double dog dare you. And look at you in your face and your eyes and disrespect you like that. And she'll say it in front of the children. And then one of the daughters sitting on the couch, the teenagers, they're just looking at the phone. Snap. And you're going to have problems out of them for the rest of your life. Because these young men are not going to put up with all that. They're not like you, sir. You're going to wake up one day and your daughter's going to be at the door crying, black eye, bloody. And she's going to come home. She's going to want to come home back to you because she snapped her fingers and did her head side to side and he knocked her head off. Because that's what she saw her mother do. You wouldn't dare knock her head off. And you shouldn't. But these young men will do it. And if your daughter carries all that foolishness that she saw her mother do, it's going to be a problem. And she's going to want to go back home to daddy who let her have her way. And you ought to turn her over to her mother because she taught her how to do that. Our devotional passage is Psalm 42, 1 through 5. As the heart, I love this passage. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Dr. Matthew Henry wrote in his commentary regarding this passage, this beautiful passage, if you want to do some good reading, just read the Bible. It will blow your mind. There's no literature in the world like the Holy Bible, especially the Old King James. You lose a lot of the power and the beauty in these other versions. You know, good news for Modern Monkey and all this. Excuse me, that's I get that from way back. He said the psalmist looked to the Lord as his chief good. Do you look to the Lord as your chief good, sir, ma'am, and set his heart upon him accordingly, casting anchor thus at first? He rides out the storm. A gracious soul can take little satisfaction in God's courts if it does not meet with God himself there. Living souls never can take up their rest anywhere short of a living God. And that's so true. Nothing is more grievous to a gracious soul than what is intended to shake its confidence in the Lord. It was not the remembrance of the pleasures of his court that afflicted David, but the remembrances of the free access he formerly had to God's house and his pleasure in attending there. And by the way, if you're going to a godly biblical church, there's no experience like it in the world. Do you hear me? You can meet God at a God-honoring, Christ-honoring, obedient church. When you walk in the door with the multitude, and that multitude could be 100 people, you will meet God. You will sense his presence. If that pastor and the people in the church have been praying all week long like they're supposed to, praying without ceasing, all of the families have been having family church devotions at home, the prayer meeting has just as many people, Wednesday night prayer meeting has just as many people as the Sunday morning meeting, and everybody goes to do business in prayer. The men pray on Saturday morning. Souls have been saved, I assure you. However God moves upon your heart, for example, with me, God will make a tear flow. Yes, big old Daniel White, macho Daniel White the Third. Yes, sir. Oh, yes, I'm not a shouter. I guess they can call me the weeping prophet. Listen to me. God would get all over me, man, and the tears would begin to flow as thinking about how good God has been to me, his mercy, his grace. And some of you all the same way, a tear, I don't be crying boo-hooing now, but a tear, come on now, and I got to get it. And I've had, my family knows, I've had to ask the Lord, please, could you please ease off of me? You don't understand. See, the old saints used to say, my cup runneth over. What? I remember one time I was over in England. I was over in England. And I went to an old Methodist church. Man, those folks were some praying people. And man, I walked into that church on a Sunday morning. I was on a tour. And something hit me, buddy. It was so heavy, but good. The Holy Ghost moved upon me so hard, man. I didn't even know these people. They didn't know me. Most of them were white. And God just moved on me, and the tears began to flow at how good God had been to me down through the years. I was shedding tears so hard I had to get up out of the church and walk outside. See, you don't know anything about that. Oh, yes. That's when you're going into a church that is prayed up and the power of the Holy Ghost is in that place. Oh, man. Yeah, it'll make you shout. I'm not a shouter. I'm not a runner. But I understand. Oh, yes. Oh, I understand. I understand why people run. I understand why people shout. I understand why they kick their leg out. I understand it. I'm not one of them. But that tear will flow right on down that eye. I gotta keep wiping it out. Yes. The goodness of God. Meeting God at the house of God is an amazing thing. And we thank God for those churches. But there are many churches, their candlesticks are being removed because they were playing and not praying. Those that commune much with their own hearts will often have to chide them, see the cure of sorrow. When the soul rests on itself, it sinks. If it catches hold on the power and promise of God, the head is kept above the billows. My beloved, would you join me in prayer now for all Christians everywhere, all born again saints? I believe Christians ought to stop calling themselves evangelicals and call themselves Christians again, as they did at Antioch. Everybody who's truly born again, help me to pray for them. Help me to pray for government, the ministers in the government. Help me to pray for the ministers in law enforcement. Regardless of what's going on in our society, most of the men, yellow, red, black, and white, and brown, are good people. Most of the police officers, most of the sheriffs, white, brown, yellow, red, and all of that, everybody, most of them, I would venture to say 97% are good people, and they have no interest in killing innocent citizens. So don't get all bent out of shape and you don't know all of the details. Just pray for them. Pray for government leaders. Pray for law enforcement officers. Pray for medical workers and what we have suddenly called essential workers. And then let's pray for the millions of family members who will pass a milestone today in 100,000. I didn't say 100, and I didn't say 1,000. I said 100,000 souls, according to the official fake, inaccurate count at Johns Hopkins, is really over 250,000, quarter of a million souls have gone out into eternity. We need to pray for those family members, that God would be with them. Based upon 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, we pray for all of your saints, those who are called by your name in this country and around the globe. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves before you. Help us to pray. Help us to seek your face. Help us to turn from our wicked ways. And Lord, help us to get back to you, Lord Jesus, our first love. For you're our only hope, and doing that is our only hope. We thank you, Lord, for your right hand. We don't deserve your right hand of blessing today. But for those of us, Lord, who are willing to confess our sins and to repent, we pray that you would continue to provide for us and bless us as you have in the past. We thank you so much for salvation, spiritual, family life, financial, material, physical, protection and provision blessings down through the years. And we humbly pray that you would continue to do that for us today if we're willing to obey you. And Holy Father God, we pray for all of the government ministers. And Lord, we know that half the nation hates the administration we have now. Half the nation hated the last administration. Lord, but we as Christians, we should not hate anybody. And we should pray for whoever is in office. And Lord, we pray for this president and his administration. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection, and provision blessings for this president and this administration, everybody in Congress, everybody who is a governor or a mayor, a police chief or sheriff, and all of the police officers and deputy sheriffs across this country. We pray for salvation and spiritual family life, protection and provision blessings. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would deal with the situation in Minnesota. And we pray that, Lord, you will have it to be so that it does not get out of hand. The same thing in Georgia. We pray that you'll bring justice to these families and comfort them as only you can. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for all of the countries of the world in the same way that we pray for our country. And we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, protection, life, and provision blessings. And we pray that you will give them wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight, lead, guide, and direct them in the way that you want them to go, and help them to repent as well. And Holy Father God, we pray for all Christians who are being persecuted across this country and around the globe. And Lord, we pray that you will be with them, deliver them, and provide for them. And Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation of all lost souls in this country, around the globe, and in the media. We pray for the revival of all Christians in this country, around the globe, and in the media as well. And Holy Father God, we pray now, Lord, for the people in the millions who have lost family members in the coronavirus plague. Help them, Holy Father God. Comfort them as only you can. Help them to turn their eyes towards Jesus Christ and towards your Holy Scriptures for real comfort. For we have no words. All we can do is pray for them. And we pray for each and every one of them, every soul that has left here from the church or not, and went out into eternity. God, have mercy upon those of us who are left behind, and forgive us of our sins in the church, of not being the example we should have been, and of not witnessing to those people as we should have. For Lord, so many went out into eternity without a clear understanding of the gospel because of an anemic church. God, have mercy. And Lord, I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, for the family and friends of California nurse Brittany Bruna Ringo. I pray for the family and friends of New Jersey nurse Mahilda Manina. I pray for the family and friends of Maine author Albert Kelsey. I pray for the family and friends of Arizona opera director Joel Revzin. I pray for the family and friends of Minnesota Senator Annie Glenn. I pray for the family and friends of New York bar owner Jimmy Glenn. I pray for the family and friends of New York resident Michael Hakayas. I pray for the family and friends of California resident Lynn Fagan. I pray for the family and friends of New York restaurant owner Jonathan Ad Do Umi, and we pray for the family and friends of New York rapper Frederick Thomas, and we pray for the family and friends of millions of others. Comfort these people as only you can. Help them by the power of your Holy Ghost to turn their eyes towards Jesus Christ for salvation and for comfort, and to your Holy Scriptures, for we have no words to help these people. Only you can help them, and we know it, and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for his sake, we continue to pray now for the prayer requests that have come in to us directly from others We pray, Lord, for Vicky. Please be with all families, with the disabled members of the family during the coronavirus plague. We pray for Brother Dobson. Please provide him with the money and food he needs for the orphans and protect them all from the coronavirus plague. We pray for Nita, for Carrie to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. Heal him of the coronavirus. We pray for Vicky. Bestow wisdom, strength, understanding, and obedience upon all government and ministry leaders. Bless and protect Pastor Evans, his family, church, and medical team. Heal Ambar completely and give her relief. Please open ears and hearts to the truth of the gospel in this time and for this time of desperation to lead people to Jesus Christ. Open hearts to give to Joshua's ministry. Protect Joshua, his family, all the people who Critical Support Services is reaching, and all first responders. Protect all people from the coronavirus plague who have not been affected, and give quick and strong recovery to those who have been diagnosed. We pray for Paul. Please provide for him, his family, and his ministry. Protect them from the coronavirus and bless them with the supplies they need to help the people around them. Provide all people in Bangladesh with the necessities they need and stop the coronavirus from spreading in that country. We pray for Nita, for her tonsil surgery to be a success. Work a miracle and heal her tonsils. Regrow her bone and gum tissue. Heal her of kidney cyst infections and diverticulitis in her intestines, and heal all other problems and pain in her body. Protect Nita and everyone else from the coronavirus plague to lead to countless salvations through it all and all around the world. And Holy Father God, we commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray now for those people who have gotten saved through the ministry. Lord, we pray that you'll help them to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for Parika, we pray for Enoxon, we pray for Sabusio, we pray for Serena, we pray for Sylvia, we pray for Rosario, and we pray for Maggie, to name just a few of the hundreds who have gotten saved. And we pray that you will help them to grow in the faith and to stand firm in the faith. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to Jesus Christ. We pray for Lola, Joseph, Ronell, Valaine, Nancy, Harold, and Nina. And we commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Lord, Give Me Yourself by Dr. A.W. Tozer is our devotional reading for today. Lord, give me yourself. Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face, though the king was his own father. Are there not many in the kingdom of God who have no awareness of God, who seem not to know that they have the right to sit at the king's table and commune with the king? This is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is a hard and grievous burden. To know God This is eternal life. This is the purpose for which we are and were created. Come on, in the middle, come on up in front like you were yesterday. That's fine. Leave that as it is. You could just bend your head down and come on in front. Just leave that as it is. Just bend your head down. Come right in the middle. The destruction of our God awareness was the master blow struck by Satan in the dark day of our transgression. To give God back to us was the chief work of Christ in redemption. To impart himself to us in personal experience is the first purpose of God in salvation. To bring acute God awareness is the best help the Spirit brings in sanctification. All other steps in grace lead up to this. Were we allowed but one request, we might gain at a stroke all things else by praying one all-embracing prayer. Thyself, Lord, give me thyself, and I can want no more. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for our time together today. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for our time together throughout this coronavirus plague. Thank you for giving us the privilege to pray together, to read your holy word together, and to pray for others together. We thank you for this standing between the living and the dead memorial prayer and devotional service, and how that it gives us sustenance and strength in a spiritual way in these dark and difficult days. And we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. And Lord, again, I do pray for each and every one of us who name the name of Christ. Help us to pray, help us to humble ourselves, help us to seek your face, help us to turn from our wicked ways, and help us to get back to you, our first love. And we pray that millions would hear the gospel and be saved before it is eternally too late. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do not know Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That is the way of salvation. That is, in the words of Curtis Hudson, the gospel in a nutshell. Dear friend, just accept the fact that you are a sinner. For the Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Understand that the wages of sin is death. One day you will die, and we're all under the threat of death as I speak. Everybody. Your body will go to a grave, hopefully. Your soul will go to hell if you have never trusted and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. And in order to do that, it is very simple. You don't have to be in church. You don't have to be a member of a church. You don't have to do good works to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the church or to the pastor to be saved. Simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God early one Sunday morning. That is the gospel. That is the good news. Believe that in your heart and pray and ask God to save your soul. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Not saved to a bunch of rules and regulations, but saved from hell and saved to heaven. That's what Jesus Christ did for you. He paid your sin debt completely. And all you have to do is believe on him. And so, dear friend, believe on him today. And pray with me what is called the sinner's prayer, and mean it from your heart. I'll be glad to lead you in the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have lied before. I've stolen things before. I have coveted after and lusted after people and things before in my heart. I've broken your Ten Commandments. I have dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my parents. I have disrespected you by taking your holy name in vain. Sometimes, Lord, as you know, even with cursing. For Jesus Christ's sake, your holy Son, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, please have mercy and grace upon my soul, my wretched soul, my hell-deserving soul, and please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and by your power rose from the dead early one Sunday morning. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit, and save my soul forever, even though I don't deserve it, and even though I deserve to go to hell. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and help me to repent and to turn from my evil ways in life, and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving Jesus Christ into your heart and into your spirit as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to Gospel Light Society and read my book, my free book to you. You can download it free. The title is What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you.